talk some good advice. We often do worry too much about things we can't change anyway, and I suppose most things usually do work out for the best. Not surprisingly, we find this kind of caution coming up again and again in the Bible, expressed most frequently with the word,
"Do not be afraid."
God speaks to the slave girl Hagar, who's been banished out of Abraham's household into the desert.
"Do not be afraid."
Joseph, now the number two man in Egypt, tells his helpless brothers, the ones who had sold him into slavery,
"Do not be afraid."
The prophet Jeremiah describes his call from God by writing that God started with,
"Do not be afraid."
In Luke, the angel Gabriel appears to Zechariah, father of John the Baptist, and says,
"Do not be afraid."
Gabriel then appears to Mary to tell about her unexpected pregnancy and begins with,
"Do not be afraid."
While walking on the water, Jesus approaches a storm-tossed boat containing his disciples and proclaims,
"Do not be afraid."
I'm sure it was hard for some of those people to heed that advice. It's sometimes hard for us to heed that kind of advice. Some things are just pretty hard not to be afraid of. Take death, for instance. We all know we're going to die. We all think about it at times. I'm sure there's going to be some fear when we do. "Well, oh, don't worry," or "it'll be okay," is a natural, often appropriate thing to say to another human being who's going through a difficult time. I guess if you don't hear people saying that as much when talking to someone who is near death, I guess is we sort of expect people who are near death to be a little afraid. After all, fear is partly the healthy, God-given instinct of self-preservation. Christianity makes the audacious claim that even when contemplating death, we shouldn't be afraid. Now, we're all human. I guess I'm a little skeptical when I hear someone say, "Oh, I have no fear of death, but no fear at all, I might be tempted to die." But our faith, though, we need not be afraid. So, friends, listen for the joyous story of the resurrection. The 28th chapter. The Gospel according to Matthew. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went on to see the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook, became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know you were looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. And go quickly, tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead. Indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy. Ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." They came to him, took hold of his feet, worshiped him. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While they were going, some of the guard went to the city, told the chief priests everything that had happened. After the priests had assembled with the elders, they devised a plan to give a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, "You must say his disciples came by night, stole them away while we were asleep. This comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and send you out of control." So they took the money, did as they were directed, and this story is still told among the Jews to this day. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountains to which Jesus had directed. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." Sisters and brothers, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A few years ago, about this time, I found I was a little surprised. It was my first time preparing a sermon for Easter Sunday morning. In my preparation, I reviewed several commentaries, many of the ones that I look at regularly. Now, I wouldn't exactly say that those preachers, those academics, were rendered speechless by the events of the first Easter. But post all those discussions that I read, they struck me as relatively short. But these guys spent fewer sentences explaining the resurrection than they did other parts of the gospel. So their commentary on the resurrection was shorter than the parable of the prodigal son or the parable of the sower or other parables. Perhaps that should not have been a surprise. The resurrection can't really be explained. It kind of explains us. A few years back, I remember watching a TV special as was narrated by Peter Jennings, going back a few years, called Jesus and Paul, the Word of the Witness. This show made the point, others have made it along the way, how one might explain the amazing growth of the early church. Can explain it at least in part by saying that there was a small but unbelievably devoted group of followers that must have been motivated by the conviction that they had seen the risen Lord. How else could global Christianity have emerged in such a small beginning? Yeah, that helps to explain the early church. I don't know that it really explains much of anything about the resurrection itself. It was the ultimate transformational event. A well-known preacher named Tom Long, I'm going to quote from several times. This is from his analysis of Matthew. "Somewhere along the path to the cemetery, they left one world and entered another. Without ever knowing, they crossed the border. They left the old world where hope is in constant danger. Might makes right, peace, and a little chance. The rich get richer, the weak all eventually suffer under some conscious pilot or another. People hatch murderous plots, and dead people stay dead. They left them in the startling, breathtaking world of resurrection and life. Jesus of Nazareth, who'd been dead as a doornail on Friday afternoon, was not in his tomb that morning, and the world theirs and ours has been turned upside down. Upside down, that's a scary world. I'm struck by that eighth verse. So they left the tomb with fear and great joy. As the women leave the tomb, they're the church, they're all of us in miniature, overcome with the joy of the good news they've been told, but apprehensive about what will happen when they try to disseminate that news to a skeptical and dangerous world. Jesus stops them in their tracks, greets them, says, "Do not be afraid." So also are the apostles of the church in miniature. They deny and abandon Jesus just a few days before, but Christ refers to them as my brother. He promises to be with them. Another quote from Long. "In some ways, the entire mission of the church can be summed up this way. Do not be afraid. Go and tell the world to come to me for forgiveness and reconciliation. They will see me. I will make brothers and sisters of them all." You cannot explain the resurrection. I can't really prove it. Although in large measure I agree with those who say it is proved, by the presence of Christians at the table thousands of years later. The presence at a soup kitchen table, their prayers at the dinner table, their communing at the altar table. As Jesus told women, he says to us, I go before you wherever you are going. The Gospel of Matthew, of course, ends with the so-called Great Commission. Christ tells his followers, all power on earth has been given to me. Go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Many feel that that is the most enduring message of God. One more quote. As the church goes out with fear and joy, faith and doubt, devotion and dread, to do the work of Christ, it is not promised success at every turn, a glad welcome in every heart, or even freedom from persecution and suffering. What the church is promised is that God will not abandon us, but is present in the midst of the faithful, loving, encouraging, guiding, giving hope. In the words of an old hymn, though the cause of evil prosper, yet truth alone is strong. Though their portion be the scaffold and upon the thrones be wrong, yet that scaffold sways the future. Behind the dim unknown stands God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. And remember that Jesus, I am with you always. Do not be afraid.
Hallelujah. Amen.